Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. In him will we trust. Amen. Praise his name today. In fact, we're going to look today, to start out anyway, in Matthew chapter 5, to the a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, starting at verse number 43. We're going to close out that chapter at verse 48. Amen. And as you turn to Matthew chapter 5, also want you to know, amen, that our title today is God's Got Great Plans for Me. Amen. I want you to know that God has great plans in store for you. Amen. And that's not just some feel-good thing that the preacher says, but it's just based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. God said, I knew you before you were formed in the belly.
Amen.
And he said, and I sanctified you and I ordained you to do certain things.
Amen.
And he says in Jeremiah, amen, that he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. So God has some plans for you.
Amen.
And they're great plans. And it's something that you and I need to keep in mind as we walk through every day of this life. That no matter what goes on and the ups and downs and the things that don't work on a particular day and people who don't treat you right and do certain things to you, just know and understand you have a destiny in God.
Amen.
And it's a great thing, amen. God wants to do great things for you. He wants to do great things to you. And he wants to do great things through you.
Amen.
Amen. And so keep your heart and your mind focused on your plans through all the ups and downs of life. Not your plans, but God's plans for you through all the ups and downs of life. Because it'll help keep your focus and grounded and still doing what God wants you to do. Because there are people in this world, and there are circumstances in this world who are under the influence of the enemy of our soul. And all he's trying to do is to get us off the plan. Because he can get you and me off God's plan, then we're open to his attacks. But we're going to stay on point because we know something. God has a great plan for me.
Amen.
Amen. It's not arrogance or pride to expect greatness in your life. You serve a great God.
Amen.
Amen. Now the psalmist said that, you know, that his excellence, he is great.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is a great God, and he has great plans in store for you. Not good ones. Mm-hmm. Not even very good ones. But great ones.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so I believe that part of our walk with God is to expand our vision and expand our hearts to receive and to see what it is that God wants to do in our lives and not put any limits on him. And then once we get that vision and once we receive it in our heart, to not let anything get us off track.
Amen.
Amen. I want to fulfill my destiny in God. And I want so desperately for every child of God to fulfill their destiny in God.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're looking at this today. God's got great plans for me. And we start in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and Amen. Sendeth rain on the just Amen. And on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
Praise God for the word.
Amen.
Let's pray over the word now. Father, we thank you right now for the word that we have heard in our hearing.
Yes.
We pray, God, that you will minister this word now. And Father God, sow it deeply in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
That it may take up root and bear fruit in our lives.
Yes.
Father, we humble ourselves before you now. That you may be exalted in this place. And Father, we're praying that you shall speak a word of life unto us, O God, that will transform us from the inside out. Father, I thank you right now for every listening ear and receptive
yes,
heart.
Lord.
I thank you for the opportunity, God, to minister your grace. I pray that you will use me to your glory.
Yes,
and that all praise and all honor will be given yes, unto you as the blessings of God flow into our lives by the power of your Spirit. And by your word, we give you the praise for it now. In Jesus' great
Jesus name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just read Matthew 5, 43 through 48. God's got great plans for me. I want you to know right now, right? This right here, Matthew 5, 43 to 48, and in fact, even if you go back to Matthew 39, this right here is renewed mind territory.
Yes. Jesus.
Amen. Because, you know, verse 39 says, you know, it talks about turning the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 40 says, if someone sues you and wants to take away your tunic, let them take your coat also. It says, if someone makes you walk 2 miles, 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And if someone asks of you and wants to borrow of you, don't turn them away. In other words, give unto everybody who asks you for something. How many of you know that's renewed mind territory
yes,
right there?
Amen.
That's not natural mind stuff.
Nope.
There are people who have been walking with God for a long time. They've never accepted this turn the other cheek scripture. They said, Jesus didn't mean that. They've been studying the Hebrew, Greek, the Aramaic. They've been looking for all kinds of things to try to find a way out of the scripture.
Because
this is truly renewed mind
yes,
territory.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes our text. Because our text says today that we are to love our enemies. That we are to bless those who curse us and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That's not how our natural minds think, right? And so this is part of the cleansing and the renewing of our mind by the word of God. But this is what the word says, and it's plain. Jesus says, bless those who curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who use you. And he gives a reason why in verse number 45. He says that you may prove to be your Father's children,
mm-hmm.
right? That you and I may prove that we truly have God as our Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave an illustration. He said, because God sends the sun and the rain on both good and evil people.
Yeah.
He sends the sun and the rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, the sun and the rain of God demonstrate his blessing and his goodness. And what Jesus is saying is, God provides his blessing and his goodness on good people and bad people. On people who are just and people who are unjust. Right? He doesn't send his blessings and his goodness only on those who are deemed to be good and who are just. He sends on good and evil, on just and unjust. And he says that, and the point that Jesus is making is that that's how we need to be as well.
Yes.
In other words, we don't just talk to people who do good to us. We talk to those who do good to us and those who don't.
Yes.
We don't just pray for those who do right by us. We pray for those who do right by us, and we pray for those who don't. We don't just bless those who are our friends. And we bless those who are good to us and those who are not.
Yes.
That's renewed mind territory.
Yes.
But he says, but see, God sends his rain on the good and the bad. So how can we just send our good only to those who do us good? Since you're not acting like your father.
Wow.
But the way you act like your father is that you actually love everybody. You pray for everybody. And you don't pray like the sons of thunder when they went up to Jesus and said, do you want us to pray down lightning? Because see, some of us pray, oh, I got to pray for my enemies? Okay, I got this. Lord, I pray that you take them out. No, that's not how he's talking about how you're supposed to pray for them. Amen. You're supposed to pray for their welfare.
Amen.
Can I share something with you? Now, this is just a brief side. Do you know why God wants you to pray for your enemies? Listen, just think about your parent. Think about how someone who would mistreat your child, push them down in the mud, kick them, right? And you as a parent, what are you going to do? That person is in some trouble.
Yes, they're in trouble.
And they could be bigger than you. They could be stronger than you. It wouldn't matter. You did that to my child? Oh, it's on. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know why God wants you and I to pray for people who mistreat us? Because if we don't pray God's mercy in the situation,
yes,
God's going to tear them up.
Yes.
Amen. I know he's a merciful God, but he's a father too.
Yes.
And he's not going to stand idly by while his children get mistreated. But what he wants us to do is, because he knows, he said, listen, pray for them. Amen. Pray. See, some people don't understand. They better be glad that you were led by the Spirit of God and you overlook their transgressions and their faults. And you say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not
what they do.
What they do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But God says, listen, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Amen. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may prove that you are my children.
Amen.
Why? Because you're walking just as I walk.
Amen.
Right?
Praise
and he even says here, Jesus says, he says, because if you only love those who love you, he said, that's the mark of the despised. Because he said, that's what publicans do.
Mm-hmm.
And publicans were Jewish people who became tax collectors for the Roman government. And they used to cheat their own people by taking more money than they were entitled to. So the publicans were despised by the Jewish community. And so Jesus says, if you love only those who love you, that's the mark of the despised. Because even the publicans do that.
Jesus.
But what he said was, but you need to act like your father. Because see, the loving those who do good to you and those who don't, blessing those who curse you and praying for those who use you, that kind of love being extended to those who do right by you and those who do wrong, that's the mark.
Amen.
Of your Father. So he said, therefore be perfect. Perfect means not without error, but it means more be complete. Be complete in your love for people,
yeah,
even as your Father completely loves people. This is renewed mind territory, amen? But here's the thing, and we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 25 for an illustration of why this is so important. Because, see, I believe there are a lot of Christians who have gotten off the plans of God for their life because they've gotten caught up in retaliation and vengeance and getting people back and standing up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, you hate me? I hate you back. You're not going to do good to me? Well, that's fine. I got something for you. Right? And if you try to use me, if I pray for you, yeah, I am going to pray like the sons of thunder. I'm going to be praying all kind of havoc in your life. There's some Christians who do that.
Yeah.
Amen? Because it's the natural inclination of fallen man to want to get people back. But it's not in our nature, this reborn nature that we have as the sons of the living God. And so we want to make sure, amen, because listen, when people start coming up against you, you know, we can get our hackles up. I've seen some people been saved for a long time who by the way, somebody, I ain't been saved my whole life. It's like, that's a threat. You know what I mean? They tell people, I haven't been saved my whole life. What are they saying? You don't know. I may come over there.
Right?
Right? And these are the types of things, though, that when we get mistreated, because no one likes to be mistreated.
No.
You know, especially when you're going about, you know, purposing to live the way God wants you to live, and you want to be kind to people, and you want to be considerate, and you want to be a blessing to people, and then people, you know, essentially just throw it back in your face, and worse.
Yes.
It makes it, sometimes it makes it kind of hard because, you know, you... It's hard to, listen, to put down your nature and to follow behind what God wants you to do. It really takes some discipline, and it takes Holy Ghost power.
Oh, yeah.
And so when people rile up against you, many times, amen, you may want to rile up back. But hear the Spirit of God saying, don't do it. Why? Because you got too much at stake. Amen. You have too much at stake. God has great plans for you. Don't ruin the plans of God. Amen. By falling into the trap of trying to get people back. Now, we got an illustration in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let's turn there. And we're going to see here a story of David and Nabal and a woman named Abigail who was Nabal's wife. And we're going to start at verse number 2 in 1 Samuel 25. And it says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Now let's just stop right there for a second, okay? So we introduced the two characters here, right? Mm-hmm. Nabal and Abigail. And one, we learned about Nabal one thing. One, he was rich, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. He had, as the scriptures say here, he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And, you know, getting the wool off the sheep. And that was going to be, he was going to make some money, mm-hmm. Right? Because wool was very useful and very valuable then and now. Amen. And he had a wife whose name was Abigail. And the scripture says that she was a woman of good understanding. And she, it said also she was beautiful. Mm-hmm. See, she was beautiful and she had good understanding. She was beautiful and she had a good head on her shoulders. Man, I tell you what, if you get a woman and a wife who's beautiful and got a good head, oh, that's beautiful, that's a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
But if you can only get one, I would say to you, get the woman with the good understanding, amen? Because what good is a beautiful face and an empty head, amen? Right?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Nabal had a woman who was beautiful and had good understanding. But watch this. This is interesting. Nabal, his name means foolish.
Yes.
Now, the first thing I'm thinking of, why would his parents do that to him? Name him foolish. But that's what Nabal means. And here's the other thing. Abigail means joy of the father. And I'm thinking to myself, how does joy of the father get hooked up with foolish? I don't know how it happened, but they're here, amen? We could speculate that maybe it was an arranged marriage. We could speculate that maybe Nabal tricked her, deceived her. We could speculate that Abigail maybe, you know, ran past all the stop signs and married the man anyway. I don't know, but all I do know is foolish is married to joy of the father. Verse number 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did share his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get ye up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say unto him that live in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that you have. And now I have heard that you have sharers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. We come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into your hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David. So David said, listen, he sent 10 men. Mm-hmm. And David's in the wilderness right now. He got 600 men with him. Mm. Right? His army is comprised of 600 men. And he sends 10 men to Nabal, and he's being very courteous and kind. He says, listen, go to Nabal and let him know that while his shepherds were in the field, we were there and we made sure nothing came to harm them.
Yeah.
We protected them. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose anything. And we didn't hurt them.
Yes.
And now we understand that it's sheep shearing time. And sheep shearing time was a time of festival. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was a time of celebration. Mm-hmm. If you remember, Absalom, David's son, when he killed Amnon, his brother, remember he told his father, he said, we're going to be shearing sheep. Why don't you come to the festival? And that's how he got Amnon to come. And when Amnon and all the other brothers came, Absalom had his men kill his brother. But sheep shearing time was time of food and wine and drink, and it's just a good time. And so that's why David said, we come in a good day. Because you got a whole lot of stuff here, and we did kindness to you. But here's David. He didn't demand what he should get. He said, you know what? Give to us whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Give to us whatever comes into your hand. And so the men went, and David is very humble. He's very kind. He's very respectful. And the men go to the ball, as we pick up in verse number 10. Verse number 9, and they came to Nabal, and they told Nabal everything that David said, and look how Nabal responded. Nabal said to David's servants, he said, who is David?
Jesus.
And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master.
Jesus.
Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears? You hear selfishness here?
Oh, Jesus.
Shall I take my bread, my water, my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Now, David was very polite. He sent his men over there, very polite, very humble. Hey, give us whatever you want. We protected your shepherds while they were out in the field. Peace be to your house. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto everything you own. I mean, and the ball first, who's David? And see, I want you to know that questioning of identity is the language of the devil. The devil loves questioning identity. If thou be the Son of God. Right? That's what the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness. Questioning your identity in God. Who do you think you are? Amen.
Yes.
The devil loves questioning your identity.
Yes.
Saul, I know. Paul, I know. Right? Jesus, I know. But who are you? See, devil always want to question your identity.
Jesus.
So when people come up to you asking you, who are you? Who you think you are? Don't even let that bother you. You just know that's the spirit of Satan and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because God has declared who you are, amen?
Yeah.
You are his child. But here's the other thing. This was an insult to David. Because by now, David had already killed Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? By now, David had already killed Philistines, where the women were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. Nabal knew who David was. So for him to go, who are you? He was just being insulting for no reason. If he wanted to say no, he could have responded as respectfully as David's men came. But it wasn't in him, right? He had to get all mean and nasty. And you can have that happen. You just say something nice to somebody. Hey, can I get, what are you asking me for? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Amen. I came to you with dignity and respect, and you're going to now spit back at me like that?
Yes.
But that's what Nabal did. And then he said David almost like as a runaway. He said, many people have run away from their masters because by this time, Saul was trying to kill David. Mm-hmm. Right? That David had to leave Saul's house. And so now he's implying that David is a runaway from proper authority. Many men have run away these days. And so David's men, in verse 12, they turned around, they came back, and they told David everything that he said. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. I just want to jump to verse 20 for a second. And you see here, verse 21. David also says, surely in vain I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited or repaid me evil for good. So and more do also God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. What are we saying? He said, you know what? He said, I did this man good. And now this is how he repays me? He said, God forbid. He said, if by tomorrow morning, if there's any man left in his household.
Jesus.
And you see what David said when the man told him? He said, gird up. No, he said, strap up. What? He said, what? All right, everybody, strap up. David's no joke. David's a man of war. He's a kind man. He sent the man over there to speak kindly unto him. But listen, don't you push him on the people of God. He said, what? All right, everybody, strap up. Verse 14. But one of the young men of Nabal, told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. This young man, he ain't holding back. He said, listen, David came, he sent some young men, and I'm like, he went crazy on them. He railed on them. But the men were very good to us. And we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Look what he says. They were a wall unto us.
Wow.
Both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial. In other words, he is a son of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
And look what he said, that a man cannot even speak to him.
Jesus.
Amen. And so this servant is saying, David's men were good to us when we were out in the field. And listen, the Philistines were out there robbing, the Philistines, the people of war, right? And they're out there robbing people and doing all kinds of things. And David's men were protecting Nabal's shepherds while they were out in the field with these 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. They didn't have to do it. And I want you to know something. David has 600 men in his army, but if you go back and you read 1 Samuel 22, verse number 2, in fact, it's not that far. Let's just go back and look at it real quick. 1 Samuel 22, verse number 2, because you got to see the character of David's men. I'm telling you right now, before you get there, David's men who are in his army are not graduates of West Point. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 22, verse number 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, unto David. And he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. So when David's army first started out, he started out with an army of 400 men. And they were 3D men. They were 3D.
Amen.
They were in distress. They were in debt. And they were discontented. In other words, you were some rough and tumble guys.
They were stressed out, they had no money, and they were unhappy. Amen. And so these men are out in the field with no food, and you got sheep over there, and you got lambs over there, and these men ain't going over there just taking what they want. It's because of David's leadership and management that kept them from going over there and taking from the ball.
Amen.
And so that's why David is so upset. He's like, I got a bunch of fellas here who wanted to come over there and take your stuff. But I kept them back. And now I just ask you for a little provision at a time of feasting and partying, and you can't give me anything? Strap up! And even the Baal servant said, those men were good to us out there. They kept us safe. Mm-hmm. Verse number 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 200 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the donkey, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And see, this is interesting, right? So she's coming down, and David and his men, amen, if she's coming down, they're coming up. But David's coming up with some intentions of destruction in his heart. But that's why you read in verse 21 and verse 22. He talks about all the things that they did for Nabal, and this is how we get repaid. And so he's on his way up, and she's on her way down, and she meets him.
Yes.
All I want to say here, sometimes, listen, praise God that you're on your way up. Amen. But on your way up, you better pay attention to people that you meet on your way up, because sometimes they can save you from some stuff.
Yeah.
Some people, they go on the way up, they forget who they met along the way up. But as you see here, David became very thankful for somebody who he met on the way up, because she actually kept him from blowing his destiny. Mm-hmm. What do I mean? Look what happened. Look what she said. Verse 24. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and got off the donkey, fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. So she takes responsibility for what her husband did.
Yes, yes.
Lord, can I stop? No, I got to keep going. Verse 25. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. What's she saying? He's saying, don't worry about this guy in the ball, because, listen, he's aptly named. That's what she said. As his name is, so is he. Don't pay attention to him. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom you sent. She said, I didn't know you sent the man. I didn't know that you sent him. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She's taking responsibility for him. For the Lord will certainly make my lord, look what she says about David, for the Lord, talking about God, will certainly make my lord, talking about David, a sure house. What's she saying? God has some stuff in store for you, David. Because my Lord, talking about David, fights the battles of the Lord, talking about God. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She said, David, God has a plan for you. He's going to make a sure house for you. He's going to establish your house and your destiny and your dynasty because you fight the Lord's battles.
Jesus.
And watch it. She said, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of thy of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. What she was saying is that even when people come after you, your life is going to be hid in God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good he hath spoken. See, because she knew David had been anointed king. She knew Saul was chasing him. But she said, David, you got a destiny in God. David, you have a sure house in God. And when God does all the good that he has promised you, right, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, she said, don't let this be grief unto you.
Amen.
In other words, God has such good things for you. Don't come over here and mess with this foolish man in the bar, because that's going to be on your conscience and you're going to have to deal with that later. Don't let this mess you up. That it be grief unto you, no offense of the heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember me. A couple of things here I want to point out. In the chapter right before this, chapter 24, Saul came into the cave where David's men were. He didn't know it. But Saul had his men, they were out there looking for David. And Saul came into the cave to take care of some business. Read the scripture for yourself. Find out what his business was. He came in there to take care of some business. And he was in the cave. He was vulnerable. And David cut off the skirt, a little bit of his robe. And when Saul went out, David said, nah, I shouldn't have done this. He said, you know, I can't touch the Lord's anointing.
Yes.
Isn't this something? That David spared Saul's life just a chapter before. Mm-hmm. And Saul was trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. Nabal just hurled some insults at him. And David said, I ain't sparing nobody. No, but notice this, that sometimes when you know people are doing you wrong, it's easier to take that, because you expect it from them.
Yeah.
Somebody don't speak to you, you expect that. You go, yeah, he didn't even speak to you, right? Well, he never speaks to you.
Amen.
Yep.
You know what I mean? When people do you bad, you kind of expect it, right? So they do it, you go, okay. So he expected evil from Saul, because Saul was throwing javelins at him.
Right.
So he spared Saul, but watch this. When you treat somebody nice, mm-hmm. and you treat somebody with respect, you don't expect them to come back at you.
Amen.
That sometimes can get you going.
Yep.
So you can take somebody doing worse stuff to you because that's what you expect. But here's somebody that does an insult and looks at you the wrong way, and you don't expect that. You're, huh? What? That's why we got to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Because we can be easily provoked and tempted. Right? That's why sometimes don't get so, when somebody treats you bad and you're able to overlook that transgression, that doesn't mean you're able to overlook everyone. Lord, lead me not into temptation.
Amen.
Because when my kid, who I love dearly, talks back to me, what? What'd you say, boy? Right? You can get provoked like that. So here's David. He can overlook a man who's trying to kill him, but he ain't going to spare nobody who insulted him. Unbelievable how human nature is. But here's the other thing. Here comes this wonderful woman, Abigail, with a good head on her shoulder, and she brings food, and she comes, and she pays respect to David, and she speaks wisdom to David, and says, listen, David, don't mess up your destiny in God. Don't come dealing. Don't worry about this foolish man and all these things. And it's on me. I'm telling you what, Abigail was a virtuous woman. Amen. That she stands there and she says, it's my fault. It's my fault. And if I would have known your man would have come, this would have never happened. And here's the thing I want to say. I want to say to all the wives in the body of Christ. Do you know what the Bible says about a virtuous woman? And I'm not talking about Proverbs 31, virtuous woman. I'm talking about Proverbs 12 and 4. Proverbs 12 and 4 says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Do you know that a crown signifies rulership, authority, dominion, and power?
Wow.
So when the wife conducts herself in a virtuous fashion, she is a crown to her husband. That means when the husband goes out into this world, he has a crown on his head, and he can rule and exercise dominion and authority, amen, because he has a virtuous woman behind him. But watch this. When you virtuous woman get off and now start not acting virtuously, when you start doing your neck at the woman at the motor vehicles because it's taking too long. When you start blasting people on Facebook, when you start doing all kind of crazy stuff that doesn't befit you as a daughter of the true and living God, it doesn't only hurt you, it strips your husband of his crown.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. And then you're wondering why he ain't out there doing the stuff that he needs to be doing to take care of the family. But see, here's the thing. Maybe he's been stripped of his authority.
Jesus. Oh, wow.
No, that's on him. That's on him. Don't put that on me. That's on him. No, I'm sorry. See, God doesn't separate husband and wife. Amen. Right? The two shall be joined together and what? Become what? One flesh. That's why he says to the husband, he said, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Mm-hmm. And then Peter said that you should live with your wife according to knowledge, husband. So what? So that your prayers will not be hindered. Mm-hmm. Do you know that the way you treat your wife, husband, could determine whether or not your prayers are hindered or not?
Amen.
See, so husband and wives are linked. Amen. So if the way I treat my wife, God says, is going to determine how effective your prayer life is.
Amen.
Please understand how girlfriend or wifey is acting at home may affect how much I'm taking a territory out in the world.
Wow.
Because what? She's my
crown.
Every husband, you know, they ain't saying it here because their wife is present. And they ain't saying it on the thing, but no, they're gonna go home and go, amen to that. She better start acting right. Maintain your virtue, woman. Amen. And hear God say that to you. Why? Because not only are you helping you and the blessing coming to your life, but you maintain that crown on your husband's head.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. And so Abigail, amen, she's a virtuous woman, amen. She's a crown to her husband, but her husband's still foolish.
Amen.
But now look at what David says, amen, to all of this. He says to David, David says to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. This is verse 32, which sent thee this day to me. I love David. You can see why he's a man after God's own heart, because Abigail does good to him, but he blesses God first.
Yeah.
He don't say thank you, Abigail. He says, bless the Lord God of Israel, mm-hmm, who sent you to me.
Yeah.
David knows all goodness starts from God. Amen. And now he don't even stop there. Look what he said. He said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee to me this day. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in this very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which hath kept me back from hurting you, except you had hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning any that pisses against the wall. So David received of her hand, and he said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice and have accepted thy person. How does this tie into what we were saying before? Because Jesus is saying, right, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you. Right? And what God is saying to us is, don't let people who mistreat you get you off your path of destiny.
Yes, yes.
That's what almost happened to David. He let Nabal's insults Came to the point where he was going to slaughter every person in the Baal's household. And here he is anointed to be king. And he was going to have that on his conscience and on his record. He's a bloodthirsty man. He went and he killed every man. And don't you know, he was going to kill every male. He was going to kill every male, not every man. What I mean by that? That means he's going to kill young boys too. He was not going to leave one male in the household of Nabal. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine he had that on his conscience and on his record after he gets anointed as king of Israel? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that would have kept him from being anointed king of Israel. Mm-hmm. The point is, don't allow someone mistreating you to get you off your point.
Amen.
Amen. Even when others do you wrong, remember, God has great plans for you. You have a destiny in God. There is too much at stake in your life for you to get sidetracked and get off point because you want to retaliate against somebody who did you wrong.
Yeah.
Amen? Don't do it, amen? Don't do it. And here's the other thing. And when God sends some Abigails in your life, be grateful. Amen? When someone comes and says, you know you shouldn't do that. Amen? You got too much going on. You got too much good stuff going on. You shouldn't have this. Somebody cut you off in traffic and you want to rush to the light. What you going to do? What are you going to do? You start, you know, all of a sudden now you want to chase them down. What are you going to do? You got too much at stake to be acting like that.
Wow.
Let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. God got great plans for you. So what they cut you off? Are you safe? Then let them go.
Yeah.
When God sends some Abigail's your life, they may be sitting right next to you. Mommy, you don't have to tell mommy. Mommy. Daddy, mom, you're driving too fast. Don't tell them they don't have a license. Just be glad and realize the voice of Abigail. Amen. God sending somebody your way to calm you down.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when you walk in love, even though toward those who hate you, remember what Jesus said. That's how you and I will demonstrate the love of the Father. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll stay on the path that God has for us. And I truly believe this. If you are a child of God, God has great things for you to do. That doesn't mean you're going to build, you know, great buildings or you're going to, you know, necessarily. It may be some things that are behind the scenes, but whatever God has for you and for me to do, I'm telling you now, is a great thing.
Amen.
And so you have great things to do. It may be just raising your family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who knows? But that's a great thing.
Amen.
Amen. It may be teaching a Bible study to four people, but so what? That's a great thing. And if God has great things for you, don't get derailed by some Nabals in your life. Some foolish people who say foolish things. Amen? I can't stand you. I know Steve Harvey, you know, he told his stand-up, and he said that his neighbor got on him or whatever, and he's like, I hate you. His neighbor said, I hate you. He's like, I kill your kids. But you don't do that. You let stuff go.
Amen.
You gotta say these are small things to a giant. And I'm a giant of faith. Amen. God is building
Amen.
Me up.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not gonna get sidetracked by these little small things that you wanna put my way.
Mm-hmm.
Know that you are destined for greatness, and so don't let the small upsets of this life and the insults and the annoyances of small-minded people like Nabal get you off course.
Amen.
Amen. I meant to tell my wife this, but I got to tell her now. I'm about to share a story that U.S. front and center of today, but it's a good story, though. You know, this week, Brother Les, in Bible study, we had a little laugh about my wife, you know, with the water and stuff, right? She said, Jesus said, give somebody water, and I said, well, he actually said, give them cold water. And I said that there was a time when my wife gave somebody like a warm bottle of water, you know, and it was like we laughed about it and stuff, and whatever, amen. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And the next day, the next morning, some woman wrote on our webpage, you know, that's what's wrong with preachers now. All they want is money, 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 money. You don't even give people water. You don't even want to give homeless people this. And it's all this stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I know, Les. Yeah, I know. Les would be like, what? Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. So I'm downstairs. I'm getting ready for work, Christian. I'm getting ready for work. And my wife comes downstairs with her tablet. And she says, I want to show you something. And I'm going to respond. So I said, uh-oh. She said, why you say uh-oh? I said, well, first of all, you don't show me things first thing in the morning. And I'm reading body language and I'm hearing, I'm going to respond. So she goes looking for it, right? And she shows me the thing, and I start reading. And I hope the woman watching now, because I'm reading it, and it didn't make any sense. It wasn't even intelligently written sentences. There wasn't a coherent idea. You were like, huh? What? What? So I said to my wife, what are you worried about this for? She can't even write good sentences. I said, nobody. She said, yeah, but it's going to be on our website. And I don't want them thinking that I don't give people cold water. I said, what are you worried about this for? I said, this woman's, anybody who reads this will know not to pay attention to what she's trying to say. And so my wife walked out and she said, okay. And I heard the okay. You ever hear okay, but you know it's not okay? So she said, okay. And she went upstairs, and so I just continued to get ready for work. And I heard God say, go share with her this week's message. Now, I will tell you this. I never share my message with my wife. And not my message. God's message with my wife before Sunday. For a couple of reasons. One, because it's always ongoing. Second, because by come Sunday, God could change it. And he's done that plenty of times. So I just never say anything. I just meditate on it all the way up until Sunday morning till I get here because God has flipped the script on me plenty of times. So when he said, go up there and share with her, so I went upstairs and I shared with her this thing about Nabal and about Abigail. And I said, listen, I said, that woman, she's Nabal. She's talking foolishness. I said, so why are you going to get off your destiny and get all riled up? I said, next thing you know, you respond to her, then she responds back. And now you got 2 or 3 days of going back and forth, and now you're all upset over somebody you don't know and shouldn't even care about. And I shared with her about, you know, Matthew 5, about, hey, you got to bless those and who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you so that you can show that you belong to your Father. And the word, I know the word got through to her because as I was leaving the house, she started to pray for me. She said, and she called me Abigail. First time I ever got happy that somebody called me a girl's name, amen? Because I knew what she was saying, amen? That I was someone that God has sent across her path to keep her from going out and exacting vengeance.
Amen.
And so I'm about to leave. And something came to my mind. I said, hey babe. I said, but as a practical matter, I said, that's our website, right? She said, yeah. I said, so can't we just delete what the woman put on there? She said, yeah. I said, she first thought of it. Like, yeah. I said, okay. I said, that's just another reason why you don't need to get in touch and go back and forth. And I went to work. And I came home that day. And in the evening, brother, and I came home that evening, and I said to her, I said, oh, by the way, did you delete that woman's post from our website? You know what she said? I forgot all about that woman.
Wow.
Amen. Isn't that something? See, when the word of God is presented to you and you receive it, oh, man, it changes things. Instead of now, I'm going to respond, right? And instead of, I'm going to get this person back, you now can be of such perfect peace that I forgot all about that woman. Isn't that something? And this is why we have to do things God's way. Because when we do things God's way, we leave our cares in His hand, and now we can just go about our business and the things that God has for us to do on that particular day.
Amen.
And so when she said that, I said, glory to God. Look at the anointing and the power of God when you do things God's way. My wife went from being upset and ready. And see, I'm about to say, and can I just say this to everybody who want to come out and be venom to my wife? Let me tell you something. My wife's from the Bronx. Right? Duh. Not the, duh. D-A. She's from the Bronx. And you know, and they call it the boogie down Bronx. Right? And so, yeah, my wife is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with the morning burning fire. Amen. But she got some boogie down in her. And it's anointed. It's anointed boogie down. And so you want to start messing with my wife, and you get some of that anointed boogie down coming after you. But she went from wanting to get this woman back to now, I forgot all about that one. Isn't that something? See, because God, when you obey God, God will take your cares off your shoulders and off your mind and fill you with perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's what God is saying. You need to trust me in this thing. Don't try to get folk back. Right? You just continue to do good. I make my rain and my sun come on the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. You need to walk in love with those who do good to you and those who don't. You need to pray for those who are praying for you and those who are trying to curse you. You need to do good to those who love you and to those who hate you, because that's how I am and that's how you need to be in this present world.
Amen.
And if you do that, I'll take care of all the Nabals in your life. And not only that, I'll keep you on the path of destiny that I have for you, because God has great plans for me. And I'll tell you this right now. I ain't letting anybody get me off my post, amen, by the grace of God. I can't take credit for it, and I'm not boasting. By the grace of God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because I feel like this. Listen, people don't like what I say. People don't like the way I preach. People don't like the way I teach. That's fine. But I do it out of a pure heart, amen. If you got something to say about it, I'm not answering you. Who are you to talk about another servant, amen? I'm not your servant. I'm God's servant.
Amen.
Right? And so God tells me do this or that, not you.
Amen.
Not you. And I'll be darned.
Amen.
If someone's going to write something to me on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on this or that, and I'm going to take time to respond to it, I think not. Amen. Because I'm like Nehemiah. I'm on the wall trying to do my best out of a pure heart to do God's work. Why should I come down to you and talk to you about the stuff you want to talk about, Sanballat and Tobiah? Oh, and the ball. I ain't see you in the ball. Well, you got lost, foolish man. They over here. Come on over here. Come. Don't let people get you off your destiny, amen? You got great things in store in your life. God wants to do great things for you, to you, and through you. And just keep, amen, thank God when he sends Abigail your way, but you keep focused on doing and living the way God wants you to live.
Amen.
You have too much at stake, and there's too much that God has poured into you for it not to come to pass.
Amen.
In your life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. God has great things for me. Amen?
Amen.
Remind yourself of that the next time that joker cuts you off and then wherever. Amen? God's got great things for me. I'm letting him go.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Let's rest on our feet and pray together. Amen. Greatness standing up in the room. Amen. For we have a great destiny in God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are called by your name. We thank you, God, that we are the sheep of your pasture. We are your people. And Father God, you have filled us with a destiny. Father, you have filled us with a plan, oh God, a good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives.
Yeah.
and that, Father God, that you have ordained that we shall do great things in the earth. We are difference makers, oh God, because we have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, we have been purposed, oh God, to do great things in this present world. And so, Father, with so much that you have placed in us and so much at stake in our lives, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this word that is warning us, oh God, not to get off course, not to allow things, oh God, to come against us and to derail us and to distract us and to get us moving in directions that are not in line with your will. We thank you, oh God, for the word that you have spoken unto us, God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we purpose in our heart, oh God, to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who hate us, and, oh God, to pray for those who despitefully use us. And, Father God, we thank you that vengeance is yours. And, Father, we do not have to get back anyone, oh God, but, Father, all we need to do is to trust in you, knowing, God, that you have our back.
Yeah.
If God be for us, who can possibly be against us? And so, Father, we thank you right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. For the word that you have spoken into our hearing,
the
word you have spoken into our hearts. Now, God, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, let us walk this word out in our everyday lives,
Lord,
oh God. Father, knowing, God, that all of the annoyances, oh God, and all of the frustrations and things, oh God, that come our way, that, Father God, they are no match for us and the God who dwells on the inside of us. And so, Father, we give you the praise and thanks in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for the Abigails in our lives. We thank you, oh God, for those, oh God, who come and speak words of wisdom, words of understanding, words of knowledge into our hearts.
Yes, Father.
And will keep us, oh God, on the right track. And, Father God, we give you the praise. And we even ask you, oh God, to bless us to be Abigails for others, oh God.
Yes.
That we may be support one to another. That, God, that we may help each other fulfill the blessed destiny that we have in you, that you may be glorified in Jesus' matchless name. So, Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. Thank you, God, for the word. Thank you, God, for your spirit. And thank you most of all, God, for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the captain of our soul. And we give you all the praise and all the thanks now in Jesus' great name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And amen,
amen
again. Your life on the outside.